Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. And today, a look at the culture of Wall Street. And let's face it, for many of you who don't work in finance, Wall Street has a pretty bad reputation. The latest example, Deutsche Bank. Yesterday, it agreed to plead guilty to criminal charges and will pay $2.5 billion to settle accusations that it manipulated a key interest rate. So what is it about Wall Street? Now, this might be a point where I play that clip of Michael Douglas as Gordon Gekko telling us that greed is good, but I can probably skip it because that's probably what you're already hearing in your head. And a recent study might confirm that feeling. It found that bankers were more likely to cheat on a test when they were reminded that they are bankers. So this suggests that it is something about the culture and not necessarily the individuals. So can that change? Is it changing when you consider the new regulations put in place after the financial collapse? Well, William Cohen wrote about this study and Wall Street culture in his article, Can Bankers Behave?, in this month's Atlantic. And he's with me now along with Jesse Eisinger, who regularly reports on Wall Street for ProPublica and the New York Times. And Bill, you worked on Wall Street for 17 years. You still know people there. Is there change happening?
I think there's a slight diminishment of the swagger on Wall Street that existed at various other times in my sort of banking career. Bankers go through cycles of hubris, and I think at this particular moment there's less hubris. There's more willingness to actually step back and think maybe some of the things that they did leading up to the crisis weren't right, and a slight willingness to change. I wouldn't over-exaggerate it by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think anything really fundamentally has changed.
Well, Jesse, in your reporting, do you find that there is something about Wall Street that does change people, or is it the people who are attracted to it are thinking of, you know, pushing the limits of what's acceptable behavior, or something's going right
past it?
Yeah, I
think there's a chicken and egg thing because, of course, there's a it's gathering a certain kind of person who wants to make money, wants to take risk, and might cut corners. So obviously, you know, they elevate money to being one of the most important values. You know, I agree with Bill that these things go in cycles and they can be subject to regulation and outside pressures. And if you put people in prison, for instance, for their crimes, that can have a kind of deterrent effect.
But that didn't happen after the financial crisis. So has there been any sort of deterrent effect from that?
You noticed that too. I think the deterrent effect was lacking. And so I think that if you look at the top echelons of Wall Street, what they say is we blew up our banks and took a lot of money out of the firms, and none of my guys, my buddies went to prison. So the risk reward sort of suggests I should do this again, but I'm going to lie low for now.
Bill, do you agree with that?
Banks are showing some contrition, right? So Goldman had this probably was the first bank to come up with a self-examination. They appointed a highfalutin committee. They came up with 39 recommendations about how they could change their business. J.P. Morgan Chase was sort of later to this particular party. They did a 100-page report that came out last fall that I described as more like an Alcoholic Anonymous 12-step program where they had admitted things that they did wrong without really kind of admitting too much other than a sort of a general
God
sense.
God grant me the power.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I think, again, what I described in the piece was what I think is going on at Morgan Stanley, which is actually a change in business philosophy and business lines that they're in. Basically, other banks are saying, hey, this is a cyclical change. When we get out of this particular cycle, when the economy improves, then everything will be back to normal.
Jesse, the Federal Reserve president of New York, said that Wall Street has largely lost the public trust. So can they win it back, and how would they do that?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's the old Woody Allen line. They're below child molester in popularity. they're not winning it back anytime soon. I think the real issue is the compensation. And the compensation rewards on Wall Street at the Wall Street banks are lower than they were pre-crisis. And so the incentives to act badly are slightly diminished. But you see rapacious activities in other financial areas like hedge funds and private equity firms, which are sort of intellectual frauds. they reap huge fees in fairly untransparent ways. So, you know, I until there's some kind of broad-based kind of civic responsibility, which is kind of unimaginable, so where Wall Street players become kind of statesmen who take on regulation and want to give back to their communities in some really fundamental way, in a believable way, that is what it's going to take. And it would just be such a cultural change, you can't even picture it.
So in the little bit of time that we have left, what would be something that you think could be done to permanently change the culture of Wall Street?
Me, I think that they have to go back to an incentive system that forces people to put their own money on the line again like they did when they were private partnerships. That's when the culture on Wall Street changed dramatically, starting in the 1970s when all these firms went from being private partnerships to public companies.
Can you explain that just a little bit?
Well, what that means is that what they used to be on Wall Street, that partners, individual partners at these firms, had their own capital in the firm. And so if the firm went out of business, they lost their own money. Nowadays, of course, if a firm goes out of business, it's the shareholders who lose their money, or the government, or the Fed, or the American people, whatever it is, who buck up these firms and bail them out. And that creates a culture where people get rewarded for swinging for the fences, taking risks with other people's money, and get bonuses, opposed to getting, you know, return on their own capital.
Yeah, I think the key is the incentives, and I think that what it would take, it's not going to come from within. It's not going to be a kind of Buddhist moment on the mountain of enlightenment for these bankers. What's going to take is government action where they break up the largest financial institutions, they raise taxes in some ways on financial transactions, wring the excess profits that are being taken from the economy out of the financial world so that we can have a more efficient financial sector and a more efficient economy.
Are either of those likely, the breaking up the banks and the limiting salaries?
No, because it's better to make money based on levering up other people's money. And the political power of the financial sector is as strong as ever. So in until those two things change, why would the bankers or the government impose some change on the bankers?
Jesse Eisinger, Bill Cohen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.